Hi, my name is Annie Jennings from the PR company, Annie Jennings PR, and I am here live today at the Trump Taj Mahal in Atlantic City. Our podcast series is called the Poker Pro Podcast Series, and this was an event today where ordinary poker players were able to come up against the pros, that is the book authors, and they're playing, and now as we speak, we have one author with us right now, Peter Alson. Peter Alson is the author of the book Take Me to the River, which sounds absolutely fantastic. Most of us are afraid to go to the river. We'll talk about that a little in more detail in this podcast. He's also the author of One of a Kind, The Rise and Fall of Stewie the Kid Ungar, the world's greatest poker player. And I recommend everyone read that book because it's a really wonderful biography of probably who would be, if he were alive today, one of the greatest poker players in the world. Don't you agree?
Not only one of the greatest poker players, but probably, he was a superstar in his time, but today he would have blown up so big, it would make some of these other poker stars look puny.
I know, and we can talk a little bit about what his personality type was to cause that type of, up and down, style of his play and his life, actually. But your new book here, Take Me to the River, is very interesting, because most people are afraid to go to the river because they don't want to get rivered, as we all have, right?
Well, in my case, getting rivered turned out to be a really good thing, because the book is an account of my attempts to raise the money to pay for my wedding. I got married last year at the ancient age of 50.
Congratulations.
And at the same time, during the writing of this book, this book takes place in the 2005 World Series of Poker. So when I say last year,
really?
I mean 2005.
Oh, I can't wait.
My wife came out, my then fiancé came out to visit me for a weekend during the 6 weeks of the tournament where I was working to win the money to pay for our wedding. And it was during that weekend that we conceived our daughter, whose name is Eden River Alson.
Oh, that's perfect.
So, yes. So,
I love it.
So we got rivered in the best way possible.
Now that's a good river story, let me tell you. That is not a bad beat. So today Peter was in this tournament here at the Taj Mahal. We're live at Atlantic City at the Taj Mahal. The event is Play the Authors, where ordinary poker players get to go up against some of the most brilliant minds in the industry, book authors who've obviously studied the game extensively. We have here today Peter Alson. He is the author of Take Me to the River. Peter, tell me a little bit about what happened today in today's tournament.
Well, the first thing that happened was I got out of bed at 6 in the morning so that I could catch a bus to Atlantic City, little suspecting that 5 hands into the tournament, I would flop a set and somebody would flop a higher set.
Oh, my gosh.
And as most poker players know, that's the hardest hand, if not an impossible hand, to get away from.
And
the way this hand played out was particularly strange because of the way my opponent played it. He was on the button, and there were actually 5 callers pre-flop, and I was one of them. I was just to his right, the flop came 5-8 king, and everyone checked, including myself, to him, and he bet 500. Everyone else folded, and I raised 500, and he flat called. And at that point, I gave him a big king. I certainly didn't give him a set.
Right.
And then on the turn, an ace came, which to my mind was a great card because
it would allow you to trap your opponent somewhat?
Yes, exactly. So I checked again, and again he bet. This time he bet 500 again. So this time I raised 1,000, and he simply flat call. Nothing changed my thinking about the hand at that point. And on the river, a blank came, and I put my book into the pot, and I put the rest of my chips in, and he called. And I was utterly shocked when he turned over pocket eights. It really took me by surprise.
God.
And I have to say, I rarely get taken by surprise.
Presto.
At the showdown. Yeah, Presto. I had Presto.
Yeah.
And ironically, an at-large tournament is going on right next door. So the Presto hand did me in.
And usually that's a winning hand, by the way, the Presto hand.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to say, statistically speaking, though, a higher set over a lower set is really statistically almost impossible, right? Aren't the odds of that just so low?
It doesn't happen very often.
Very often. Yeah. So you really had a statistically, you know.
I mean, there have been a couple of occasions in my poker life when I've been able to get away from set over set. But there have been some kind of
indications
that I've gotten a feel for the texture of my opponent's hand before, and I could realistically. I mean, there was a hand that I played once where I had pocket aces, and my opponent had pocket jacks, and
I hate the jacks.
We both flopped a set.
Really?
And he turned quads. And it was the first hand of a $1,500 buy-in tournament, and I almost got away from the hand. I really did. It was the only hand I could figure him for, and I knew the player. I knew he was a very tight player.
Wow.
The only hand I could put him on there was pocket jacks, and I almost laid it down.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
No, it's very hard to lay that down because there's that also that very small chance that you'll be right because it's very hard to get
four when there's
plots.
When there's only one hand that's going to beat you,
absolutely.
It's almost impossible.
That's right. You know, it's obviously, you wish you may have played the hand differently today, but there was absolutely nothing you could do. You played it statistically correct, the way you're supposed to.
I have no regrets.
No regrets.
My only regret
is came today.
I came and I got out of bed.
So anyway, do you have any pointers that you'd like to share today with our listening audience?
Well, you know, poker's changed so much in the last few years. It's interesting that it has actually changed in the way the game is played. And I was talking to one of my fellow poker authors about it today, and it's a point that I talk about in my book that I call the philosophical divide. And it used to be that when you get in a tournament and you knew that you were in a situation that was statistically 50-50 or you only had a very slight edge, if you felt you were superior in skill, you would not try and engage in those situations. You wouldn't play for all your chips. But the way tournament fields have grown today, and what I call the philosophical divide is that I would say the majority of tournament pros now, in that situation, will gamble all their chips, even with only a slight edge, because it is so important to increase your stack in these tournaments to try and win the tournament, as opposed to coming in the money, that it makes it worthwhile. And so, you know, I think Phil Hellmuth is one of the few players who would not play there, who still feels that he's so much superior to the other players that it's worth it to him to get out of situations, to only play where he's a big statistical favorite.
See, right. With tournaments, it's a much longer haul, too. This tournament today could possibly go on for 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, but as I say, you know, unlike a cash game, I mean, in a cash game, you have no problem gambling in that spot because you know you're going to be able to buy back in.
Right.
In a tournament, you're out.
You're out.
But that's the other thing is that in the old days, people played more conservatively.
Yes.
Because there weren't as many tournaments.
That's right.
So they didn't know when they were going to get to play their next tournament. Now you're out of a tournament, and the next tournament is, you know.
It starts in 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, do you ever use the Carroll's Book of Tells? I mean, how do you feel about the tells? Do you use them? Yeah.
It's funny you should ask that. I know Mike Carroll, and I like Mike a lot. When I first read the Book of Tells and when I first saw the video of Tells, I have to say that cost me more money than any book I've ever read. I tried to apply those things, and I don't think that Tells are things that you can apply mechanically. And I know that, you know, now I've been playing for many, many years. And the kinds of tells that I pick up on. I have to say I learned some things from Mike's book, but you have to apply those things very precisely, and you can't just apply them willy-nilly. and you really have to know something about who you're playing against to be able to.
Absolutely. You know, I was watching a game on TV the other night, and this gentleman did take what he calls a bad beat, and he was sort of down in chips. He went from chip leader to, I guess, three or four. And the very next hand, he picks up, like, ace-king or pair of aces, something really big, right? And I heard him say, "You guys got me on tilt now." And I said, "Wow, you know, who's believing that and who's not?"
Right.
Because obviously he's trying to throw off other players, thinking that here he's going to bet big again, and they might be able to come after him.
Yeah,
he wound up winning the pot nicely.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
But I thought if I ever played that gentleman, I would kind of, I'd file that away a little bit, that, hey, he likes to pretend he's on tilt when he's not,
right,
and he's got a big hand.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the really good players, of course, you know, that will give you false tells.
Sure.
And they'll give you a tell
that,
you know, one time, and then they'll reverse it the next time.
That's
so
right.
You have to go for very subtle bets.
It's almost a sixth sense now you have to develop.
It is a sixth sense. And I know that when I see someone make a move, the way they put their chips into the pot, I sometimes I can't even articulate why I know, but I know that they're weak, or I know that they're strong just by the way they do
stuff. You know, it's funny. Do you play online at all?
I don't. And the reason I don't play online is because my greatest strength as a poker player is reading people. And online, it's impossible to do that.
I mean, it's very interesting online. I do a lot of online play, and there are sometimes, and I don't know how this happens, but I can tell by the way they click that button.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I'm skeptical.
It's very funny.
I'm skeptical.
Yeah, it's very funny what you...
I mean, which is not to say that there aren't online tells, but online tells could be much harder. Well,
also
you don't know what's going on at the computer. You know, the reason the person hesitates maybe because they're on a dial up.
Sure,
you don't know what's going on, or they're ordering
a pizza.
Right. So I think that a lot of what passes as reading tells online is just wishful thinking.
Well, in any event, you know, I'll tell you, the poker craze is just tremendously fun for everyone, because I think it makes the American dream possible, a new American dream possible, that you can actually get to that end table in Las Vegas and actually become a millionaire.
Yeah.
And I think that's really causing a lot of people to pay a lot of attention right now.
I think it's, I mean, we all carry that dream.
We do. We all carry that dream. And this is fun, too, because it's not just gambling. So many of our elements of our own personality can be brought into the game. Not only our own personal perception, but our intellectual ability, our ability to analyze, our ability to have that mental workout.
Yeah.
Very similar to chess and other mind games as well. So I think online poker the Texas Hold'em No Limit is like really a mind game. It's absolutely fascinating.
Absolutely, with the fringe benefit of you get the gambler's rush, too.
Yeah, the gambler's rush, too. So there's a lot of fun. And the gambler's, I don't know, what is it when you don't win?
Oh, well, that's the...
gambler's remorse, I think they call it.
The gambler's crash.
But I don't
I'm experiencing it.
It's almost like not even calling it gambling anymore. I'd like to get away from calling it gambling, because I just think these poker tournaments bring so much more than just gambling into it. This is a match of will. This is a modern-day warrior type of situation, gladiator situation.
Absolutely, but I think you can't, you know... I appreciate the idea of getting gambling out of the terminology, but there is the unmistakable element of gambling in poker, and there's nothing you can do
to enjoy it.
There have been times when I wish that there was no element of luck, but it's...
We should all keep our day jobs for a while.
We should.
Absolutely. Well, it's been such a pleasure. I want to remind everyone who we're speaking with today, we've had a wonderful conversation with Peter Alston. He is the author of Take Me to the River, and I cannot wait to get my hands on this book. I want everyone to know that I read these books in one sitting. That's how fascinating I find them. He's also the author of a wonderful biography of an excellent poker player who actually met his demise through various, physical frailties. He was a millionaire and then lost everything and came back again. I mean, it's got an incredible story. Every poker player should know the story of Stewie the Kid Unger. And the book name is One of a Kind, The Rise and Fall of Stewie the Kid Unger, the world's greatest poker player. So I'd like to give tribute to him, because I read the book and I have to say my heart went out to him.
Yeah, you know? Stewie was really a a tragic, poker's great tragic character, you know, sort of he was the Hamlet of poker.
He absolutely was. So, Stewie, if you're out there looking down on us now, you know, good, go for it. I hope you're all in. All right. Again, well, this is Annie Jennings Annie's Poker Pro podcast series. We're here live at the Taj Mahal. Our guest today is Peter Olson. And Peter, welcome, and we'd like to have you back again soon.
Thanks.
All right, my pleasure.
It was a lot of fun.
Thank you.